Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we begin our study titled Children and Fathers in Colossians chapter 3 verses 20 and 21. If you have any questions, comments, or prayer requests, please send those by email to BBFOhio@protonmail.com, or you can send those along with any check or money order donations contributing to this ministry by addressing them to Bible Believers Fellowship, P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio 43085. And you can also donate at bbfohio.com by using the PayPal donation button on the right-hand side of the screen and the drop-down menu if you're using the mobile site. And now we begin our study of children and fathers in Colossians 3, verses 20 and 21. This is part 1 of 2. All right, current events update. Question, you ever seen an abortion survivor?
Yes.
Amen.
Yes. Here's a few of the faces of the children that the Democrat Party would prefer to be dead. Right there.
Wow.
All the Democrats that are voting for killing babies that are alive when they're born as a result of a botched abortion. If they had their way, if the governor of the state of Virginia or Nancy Pelosi or Chuck Schumer or any of those reprobates had their way, they'd be dead.
That's right.
Melissa Odom, wow. From the left, Melissa Odom was born, survived an abortion. She has physical limitations as a result of it. She went on to found Abortion Survivors Network.
Yes.
The second from the left is a young man named Josiah Presley. He was aborted in South Korea and survived. Wow. Next to him, right in the middle, is a fellow named Nick Hoot. He was aborted in Siberia, Russia, and survived.
Wow.
All of these, I think, all have some physical damage as a result of it, except for Josiah. I'm not sure about him. The rest of them, I know, had the next one, the fourth one. You might have seen her. I saw her on CBN and a few other places. Her name is Gianna Jessen. And she has cerebral palsy as a result of the procedure, but she survived. And then the next one is amazing. The last one there down the end is named Claire Colwell. And I'm sitting here talking without the microphone on. Claire Colwell, her mother was 13 years old. Her parents made her mother get an abortion, and they killed a baby. What they didn't know was that she was pregnant with twins.
Wow.
And so they left her in there.
Story, but I think they found out,
they found out she was in there and took her back for a second abortion, and she survived it.
Wow.
And this is a quote from the last lady down there, Claire Colwell. Quote, "This is what it looks like to survive an abortion. My hips were dislocated, I had club feet, and I was in body casts to correct what the abortion had done, but I still deserved to live."
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So the Democrat Party, I got my problem with the Republicans too, but I don't play the games. I'm not going to play the games. The Democrat Party is wicked. The Republican Party has wicked people in it, but the Democrat Party is wicked. And they, this week, refused to confront the Jew haters in their party. Instead of passing a resolution condemning the anti-Semitic, anti-Israel comments of that woman named Omar in Minnesota, they decided they would just have a resolution against hate. Now, let me tell you something. If there's a Republican congressman who called for the execution of gays, there would have been a resolution condemning homophobia. They would not have condemned hate. They would have had the courage to speak exactly against the people. They would have named them, and they would have had a resolution against that. You got to understand that. What you got instead are a bunch of reprobates who just said they condemn hate. Well, your Bible is true again. There's coming a time where they're going to start killing Jews again.
Yep.
It's coming.
Two-thirds.
And Trump calls Democrats anti-Israel and anti-Jewish party after House vote on hate. Amen. Every person who loves Israel and loves the Jews, Democrat, Republican, or Independent, should be calling the Democrat Party what it is.
Amen.
Anti-Israel and anti-Jew. And then you have all the stupid Christians who say, you shouldn't be getting into politics. Shut your mouth.
That's right.
The reason why this country's going to hell is because of idiots like that.
That's right.
Jesus Christ is Lord of all. And it's time Christians stop being stupid.
Amen.
We've got a party in this country who is in support of Nazi policies. And they'll call you a Nazi if you're not one of them.
Yeah. Amen.
I see people all the time say, well, if I lived in Germany back in the late 1930s, I would have stood up. No, you wouldn't. If you're not standing up now, you wouldn't have stood up then.
Yeah.
And all the silent but deadly Christians... I know this is crude, but you know what? Christians are like farts. Silent and deadly.
Yep.
Amen. That's what I think God says people like that make him sick. You want to know why? Because you're like a spiritual fart.
Amen.
Don't act like you're too good to hear that. That's exactly what this country is filled with, Christians like that.
Amen.
And my family, my children... my grandchildren are going to suffer the consequences of that.
Yeah, that's right.
Donald Trump is the friend of Israel and enemy of Jew haters, and that's why he's constantly under attack. And that includes the stupid Christians.
Amen.
That would never have happened under any other president.
Mm-hmm. Right.
People say all the time, why hasn't God judged America? There you go. We continue to have enough pro-Israel policies. We have just enough people standing up against the Democrat Party platform that it hasn't caved in yet. But it's gonna.
Yeah.
It's gonna. And I just pray it's after the rapture. Embassy, United States of America, Jerusalem, Israel. Donald J. Trump, president. Wouldn't have happened under Obama. Wouldn't have happened under Hillary. Wouldn't have happened under Bush. Either one of them. Wouldn't have happened under Clinton. I don't think it would even happen under Reagan. Even if he was president now, I still don't think it would have happened. People, I'm telling you, it's just amazing. And I never thought I'd see that.
Yeah.
And then if you'd asked me that would happen... and about a third or a half of the Christians in this country still wouldn't support the president doing that. I never would have dreamed that happened. It's an amazing thing. All right, there's your current events update. I just called about two-thirds of the population of America stupid. That's your current events update.
That was conservative.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Johnny?
I was thinking of a better metaphor for you to use.
No, there's no better metaphor, Johnny. I know you don't like farts, but that is the best.
CO2. Am I correct? That's a gas that doesn't have any odor. And
see, that's the problem with it,
right?
Is these people have an odor. And the problem is, there's something wrong with the Christian who doesn't smell it. God...
Gas that it doesn't have any smell.
But see, that's the thing, is this isn't something where someone said, well, I didn't smell anything. Well, then you're totally spiritually dead. If you're alive at all, then you can smell it. And then on the flip side, that's what we are to them. We smell like death. We studied that in 2 Corinthians.
Yes.
We smell like death to them. That's why they can't stand you. All right, well, let's get into this study after a word of prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this time in your word. We do pray for our country. It's just amazing that you haven't just destroyed the entire nation right now with all the wickedness. And we just thank you for your mercy, your long suffering, your patience. You're a wonderful God. And even the people who really know these things, they've been taught these things, don't have any appreciation for the God that we serve. And we just thank you, Lord. Thank you for this book. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. And we just pray that we can focus on the message, even though the world does occupy our thoughts and our prayers much of the time. There's time where we just need to get alone with you and tackle issues that may not be pressing on the prophetic and current events level, but are nonetheless important. You've put them in your word for a reason. So we ask, Lord, you teach us and help us in our study. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. On that happy note, children and fathers, Colossians chapter 3, beginning in verse 20. Children and fathers, if you're there, Colossians 3, we're just going to read those two verses, 20 and 21. Read it with me. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged.
Amen.
Amen. That's the gist of it, as far as the instruction we're given right there in Colossians. We do not apologize for not conforming Scripture to modern education and culture. When it says, children, obey your parents in all things, we believe that's what children ought to do.
Amen.
Ought to obey your parents in all things, but that's not the end of the sentence, and we'll come back to that in a minute, because we want it, well, we'll say it right now, yes. And, of course, we must start with the disclaimer. That is not without exception. Children, obey your parents in all things, but it doesn't end there, and it's not without exception. If your parents tell you to jump off a bridge, do not obey them.
Right.
And as crazy as that sounds, we got parents using their kids for all kinds of evil stuff these days. I've known the kids going all the way back to when I was a kid, but even in youth ministry, I know kids who have been given $20 bill and told to go up to the front door of a stranger's house and give him that $20 bill, and he'll give them a little bag, and then they can come back to the car and give it to mommy or daddy. There are little kids all over this country right now whose parents are telling them to perform sex acts on other men and women, and then they collect the money for it. That's some of the really gruesome stuff. There are other kids whose parents tell them not to take God seriously, not to take the gospel seriously, not to, you know, those church people are crazy. The Bible is written by man. That's really what the majority of American children today go to school and are told, that the Bible is not true. They're told constantly to reject the creation story and believe in evolution. They're told to only have safe sex, when the Bible says to wait till you find your spouse and get married. They're told that it's okay to be gay, and the Bible says that it's an abomination. And on it goes. When you send your kids off to public schools today, there might be a good teacher in there once in a while. Half of them might be good. Half the curriculum might be good, but the other half of the time they're being told to ignore you as a parent and to ignore the Word of God. Doesn't matter, you know, what it is. Ephesians 6:1, we studied this not too long ago, says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. In the Lord. See? And if all the children were able to come to church and they were told, obey your parents in all things in the Lord, then they would know better than to do some of the things they're told to do. Sadly, a lot of these kids, when they tell you, they grow up later on. A lot of these kids who've been abused by priests, they were told by their parents to go to the Catholic Church and the Catholic school and to obey the priests. And then when the priest starts fondling them, doing things to them, and he says, no one's to know about this, you're not to tell anybody this. No one's ever sat down with those kids and said, listen, you're to do what the priest says. And this is true about the scout leader. This is true about the teacher. This is true about the youth leader in churches. This is true about anybody.
Right.
Uncle, aunt, cousin. Kids need to be told that they do not have to do everything everybody tells them. That they're to judge things. And if it's wrong, it's wrong. If it makes you feel uncomfortable, don't do it. Go to dad. Go to mom. Say, so-and-so told me to do this. And that just doesn't seem right. And then mom and dad can tell you. But it's been amazing to me that most of the children that I've ever ministered to outside of my own family, now in my family, most of the kids that I'm aware of have been told these things. They've been talked to. But outside of my family, it's amazing to me that as I bring anything like this up, and when I have taught in young people services or meetings or whatever, mom and dad never sat down and talked to them about this stuff. Never told them this stuff. I mean, what do you think? They just get it by osmosis? I mean, you got to talk to them. You got to teach them. Yeah, let me tell you something. There's churches around here who have had people who have been either youth ministers or whatever, bus drivers, and they've molested children. And the pastor or leadership in the church tried to sweep it under the rug because they were afraid it might hurt their reputation. And I've only, when it comes up, do I say this, but I remind everybody, you hurt a kid in this ministry, you're busted. I will be the one to testify against you. And I'll be the one to call the cops. I'll be the one, and if I have to, I'll be the one to wrestle you down and take you in. There will be no child abuse in this ministry.
Amen.
And we will not cover for you. We will not cover. Well, you know, that goes, if you break the law, I don't care if you know what it is. If you broke the law, what I'm going to tell you is you need to own up to it. Don't commit the crime if you're not willing to do the time. I've had people ask me about paying taxes because I agree with them. I think the tax thing is a scam. But if you don't pay your taxes, you better be willing to go to jail. That's all I got to say. Y'all support you 100%, but I'm not going to lie or try to cover for you. And if you want to take on the government, power to you. I'm not. Tax time. We're paying up, ain't we, honey?
Amen.
Amen. Yeah, Dave.
This was before Jill became my captain. I had an incident on the bus that I was driving as 19 years old. And I looked in the back and these two guys were messing with a couple younger girls. I pulled the two girls up front. I told the boys to sit down. I took them right to their home right from there. And I told the father, this is how bad things have changed since then.
Mm-hmm.
I took them up to the door. I told him what I saw and what happened. I said, I'm going to tell my bus director when I get back. He looked at me. He says, thank you very much. He says, I'll take care of it.
Mm-hmm.
He says, I do not hesitate to tell your
boss
about it. Back in the day, they had more respect.
Yeah. Now it's, but that's my baby.
Yeah.
That's my baby.
My baby wouldn't do that.
Well, if there's, you know, there's got to be eyewitnesses and proof. I don't believe in just accusations like they did to Kavanaugh and some of that stuff. But, you know, when there's any kind of credible evidence that can prove it, then they need to be faced with it. So when is it okay for a child to disobey parents? And I mean, in a general sense, we just said anytime it's not according to God's word. But just some examples. If you're told to get an abortion, which is murder,
amen,
ignore your parent.
Amen.
Young lady, having sex out of marriage is bad. Committing murder doesn't help. You just doubled the sin and tripled and quadrupled the consequences. And what these people won't tell these little girls, you get an abortion, you get rid of that baby, and you can do it quietly, and there's no reputation hurt, but there will always be the knowledge that you killed a baby. You will never get over it. Now, with the blood of Jesus Christ, you can be forgiven, and you won't pay eternal consequence in that sense. But God doesn't remove the consequences for your crimes here in this earth. I mean, if somebody, like Son of Sam is an example of a serial murderer who claims to be saved and gives a whole lot of evidence he really is saved. But should he be let go and let out of prison since he's saved? No way. No way. He's sentenced to life and he was sentenced to death. He'd still, you know, I'd like to see every death row inmate get saved before they kill them. But I don't want to see them not pay for their crime. And when it comes to abortion, there's women all over this country, and people, they act psycho, and people wonder what in the world's wrong with them, and they don't know. They snuck off and had one or two abortions, some of them three, four, five abortions. If you're told to reject Jesus or blaspheme, ignore your parents. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and when you get old enough, move out and then pray for them to get saved. And otherwise, you're going to have a distant relationship with your own parents. Yeah. Some of you have experienced that. You just can't have a good relationship with your mom or your dad or both because they don't know the Lord. If you're told to commit burglary or steal, there have been kids sent into stores and say, "Now you go over there and get that little thing and stick it in your little purse, and then you go out and I'll meet you out front. Mommy told me to." Nope, ignore them. As I said, taking part in sexual sin. There are kids who have come to our church whose parents tell them that as long as they love the person, that's all that matters. Well, your parents are foolish. And they're leading you into darkness and leading you into trouble. Ignore your parent in that case. That's how it is. Acts 5:29 applies here. Peter and the other apostles answered and said, "We ought to obey God rather than men." That's across the board true. And that goes for your employer, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, whatever, your coaches, no matter who it is. No matter who it is, obey God. And if you can obey God when I tell you to do something, do it. But if I'm telling you to do something and it'd be disobeying God, don't do it.
Amen.
But in all other cases, children, obey your parents in all things. Unless there's a genuine biblical reason to do otherwise, then do it. Here's what the spirit of the age is. This is an old cartoon, but it's really good. You have Jesus calling you to come to Him and to His will. See, the will of God is at the bottom of a door. And at the door, on one side is Jesus saying, "Come." On the other side is a young sinner who's unrepentant. And he turns his back to Jesus and says, "No." That's the spirit of the age. And sadly, we got parents that are bad parents, and then you got kids who are just rebellious kids. And that probably describes 80% of the families in America today.
Yeah.
At least. And that, sadly, is a picture of probably 80% or better of the kids in America today, right there.
Yep. Sure, that wasn't just this year.
Isn't that something? I mean, that's probably in the 1950s, I think, when that was drawn.
Wow! Not much has changed, has it?
You know, after I got saved, I was away, and I actually moved back in with my parents for a little while. And it was a short time, a matter of less than a year, I think, if I remember right. But I suddenly felt great pleasure in obeying my parents.
Amen.
I lived under their roof unsaved, and I was a jerk. And I was always trying to sneak and get away with things. They'd tell me, "Hey, Greg, we need you to cut the grass." I'd sabotage the lawnmower. Yeah. I'd go out and do the laundry. Could you get the laundry off of the... And I'd go out there. It'd take me an hour. Why? Because I'd just go out there and start kicking things around, talking to the neighbors and everything. Mom come out and say, can you get the laundry? An hour later, I'd come walking in with it. There should be joy in obedience. This is something that most kids will look at this and they say, "What?" Can you imagine if you're right with God as a kid and your parent comes in and says, "You know, all right, whose turn is it to do the dishes?" "Me, me, oh me, my turn." You get one in normal circumstances today, you get one or two times because they've never done it before. "I get to do the dishes. Yay!" And they do it once or twice, and it's like, "Oh." Cutting the grass is the most exciting thing for about a 12-year-old. "Oh, I get to cut the grass." And if it's a riding lawnmower, yeah, it's like, "Green Acres is the place to be," you know. It's the happiest can be the first couple of times. And then suddenly driving the riding lawnmower is no longer as much fun. But you know, if you're right with the Lord as a kid, we make excuses. "Well, they're a kid." No, they need to be told, you know. You and that's what is, I think, great when parents do. I try to do this, is have a number of things that were reserved for the children to do. And they either did that or they didn't eat. Because the Bible says if you don't work, you don't eat. Well, most kids today are raised to be socialists. They don't work, and they eat, and they get all their clothing, and they get all their shoes they wear, and they get an allowance in a lot of cases without lifting a finger. You're breeding what is now being seen in the 18 to 30 age group right now. A bunch of entitled children who are adults and still think that they should be treated the way their parents treated them, where they didn't make them do anything and they gave them everything. And you need to learn as a child, you work and then you eat. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. It's awful quiet.
I'm trying to keep her a dog there, right?
Yeah.
Dan's the only dog I know that works.
Yeah. Dan earns his keep. Yeah, Dave, back.
Somebody told me years ago that says, if you don't teach your kids right and how to do right, you set them up for failure.
Well, absolutely. That's the point. That's what we're seeing. They've been set up. I'm not excusing them. They got a brain. They should see through it, but the parents were no help. Johnny?
And then to make it even worse, they want to have the, when they get older, they want to have the freedom to make choices, but without the consequences.
Yeah, exactly. Amen.
And that's
what that shows from the jobs today. You get these young ones that come into jobs, and they don't want to work, they want the money.
Yes, and it's not just in employment or college or training or whatever, it's also in their relationship with the Lord. Is they have this, that's why the TV preachers can make such money, because they're preaching what people want to hear. All I have to do is believe, and all things, you get perfect health, perfect wealth. Again, the case study was 12 men who followed Jesus. One committed suicide. 10 of the others were murdered.